WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively making the Crab Cake Tour happen. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be playing all next week, Wednesday. We're going to be at Coco's Pub in Lauraville with our mayor, Brandon Scott, this Friday. We're going to be making up our time at Nick's Grandstand Grill out in Timonium. And newly announced on Black Friday, we're going to be up in Bel Air in Abingdon. Man, I miss Buzz Battaglia. We're going to be in Bel Air in Abingdon at Conrad's. I've had Conrad's crabs. I've never had Conrad's crab cake. So that'll be happening on Black Friday up in Harford County. If you're nearby, stop by, get out of the shopping lane, come talk some local stuff with us. Hopefully the Ravens will be like 10-2 by then and like all that good stuff. Bill Cole is here. He is with Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I feel pretty good because I got some Rofo coffee in the cup this week. Bill, you know, it's not often I go to the Raven press conferences, but I did this week. I had my hair complimented, and I was told that I asked good questions. So you are sponsoring a program where good journalism and good questions are being asked at Baltimore Positive. How are you, pal?
That makes me feel so much better about this. I mean, whether we have worthwhile conversations or not, at least we have your hair going for us. So that's good.
Justin Tucker liked it, and it was unsolicited. So, and I've put it back in a bun, and every time I do that, people think I've cut it, and I've not cut it.
He's approaching GOAT status, by the way, in case anyone ever wants to recognize that, which is interesting. But one other thing you said that I want to ask really quick, which might take us down a rabbit hole, but whatever.
There's a lot of rabbit holes to go down. Black, I've been doing things again.
Black Friday. Is Black Friday still a thing?
Well, I know there's Internet Monday and Caring Tuesday and Give Back Wednesday. Right. I know I'm participating in some of them.
And Hide Under Your Covers Thursday.
And some others.
But you know what I mean? Like,
you know
what happened?
You say that, is it still a thing? Was it ever a thing for you? Did you ever shop on Black Friday?
What did you do
on Black Friday besides leftovers?
Of course not. Yeah.
So it was never a thing for me.
I worked.
So you're asking me if it's a thing. Yeah, I think at 6 o'clock in the morning somewhere there'll be a doorbuster and it happens and the people that participate in it are participating, I think even more so this year with if you're watching Fox News, there are no toys. There's no Christmas. Right. We can't say Christmas. We can't have toys. All the toys are out on the freighter, and they're all in China, and we can't make them. And we need to make better toys. And I have a feeling that most people will be able to buy most of the things they want, including toilet paper-wise, for the holidays. And, you know, all of the alarmists, got to buy it now or you won't see it again.
So there's
I guess that'll get the Black Friday
still revenge buying going on, you think? That's still like, I didn't get to do Black Friday last year, so I'm gonna go out with a bang this year. Is that maybe a thing?
I don't know. I'm not a consumer in that way.
Yeah,
I have noticed, like everybody else, the price of things going up, the price of food going up, restaurants. Sure. My wife and I eat out, we drink out, we get out. So, you know, there's that, but I'm different, man. Like, talk about your family, like Christmas shopping for you. Is that a thing? Cause Christmas shopping ceased to be a thing with me and my wife, probably right around the time she almost died twice. Like since then we just don't do it like that. My mother died. My kid's 37. We have no grandchildren and my son has no plans for such a thing. It's more about like the ham, the leftovers, the cookies.
Well,
the fellowship.
You can shop for me if you want. Like, you can get me something.
So you really do say
no. No, nobody really gets me anything. That's why
I'm asking is there used to be – Bill, come on. We're older, right? There used
I know,
to be 20
no,
years ago.
We don't go anywhere.
Bob Leffler would – you're Bill Cole – would do Christmas parties. I would have Christmas parties 5 nights a week. Beginning Thanksgiving for a month and a half, ones I couldn't go to. You would have your office party and there'd be lampshades and eggnog and ding dings and chocolate and cookies and stuff that's going to make me get fat. And then I would have to throw a holiday party for my clients, right? Because that was expected. And we would all get together and we would, you know, we'd have some crab cakes and whatnot. And then I'd have to throw one for my staff, right? And then I have to go do Christmas with my family. And then I have to do Christmas with my wife's family. So there's a lot of things that, like, I'm a way different cat the last 10 years. Like, Moeller gets on me that I don't watch movies, right? I see how other people do Christmas, and I watch the movies, and I get it, and there's boxes, and there's – I did it that way for 35 years. The last 20 years, it just hasn't been that intense thing that I see on television, putting bikes together at 3 a.m. behind little Johnny's back. I don't do Christmas that way. How do you do it?
We're still modifying as we go, right? It still evolves every year. Literally last night after the girls went to bed, my wife and I were sitting on the couch for the 15 minutes we get before I go to sleep. And we're both on Amazon and I'm like, hey, she's like, I need something to get you for Christmas.
So you went to the mall last night is what you did on your lap.
And I was like, don't worry, honey. I just ordered myself a belt. When it comes here, you can give it to me.
Put your name on it.
Right. It's lost a lot of the, I don't know.
Secret Santa. A lot of people do that, right? I mean, yeah, I'm just trying to think of things that feel Christmassy that I know other people do that I wave and I think it's nice and I love Christmas and I love the holidays. Yeah. I love all of it. But I'm not the guy that's running around doing that.
Yeah, I think it's in some regards like, okay, our responsibility to our kids, right? And making sure we're hitting the certain things that you'll feel guilty if
they
you didn't give them
Christmas.
That. Right, exactly. So you're driven by guilt. And then beyond that, I would say that there's still a lot of parties, you know, cocktail deals, whatever. And you go to a couple.
In the COVID?
Yeah, not last
now?
Year. No, not last
right.
year.
Right, so
but
it feels
but this
like it's
year,
been
I've
a little
starting
while.
To get I've been getting some stuff trickling in here okay. and there. Not much, but
well, you're more
I would
popular
assume,
than me, you know?
I would assume,
By the way, Baltimore Humane called me the other day, and they want to lock me up for the holiday, me and my wife, okay? So, like, they write to me about this. This is Kate Pica, right? And I love Kate. I'm giving them a free plug because everybody knows how much I love my cat. And they're like, if we locked you up in a kennel and you broadcast, people would come and save you. And I'm like, no, they wouldn't. I'd be in the kennel. You know what I mean? I'd be out of Nicodemus Road, so you'd have to come adopt me. You know? So I'm a little worried. So I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if the old ideas are relevant anymore after COVID. I mean, I'm testing this with the crab cake tour, and I'm seeing who's out and why they're out and where they're out. And right. And I've been heartened the last couple of weeks. I was out at Silver Spring Mining. A bunch of people came in, said hello to me, and told me about old times. We argued about where White Marsh ends and where Perry Hall is. We had the same argument in Canton that we've all decided the Captain James is in Fells Point and the Sip and Bite is in Canton. And that's the way. And the Royal Farms is on the the Fells Point side. Kisslings is on the Canton side. So sure. we're making these neighborhood judgments. But getting people out and getting people gathered, whatever it is, other than for a Ravens game, and I don't know that we gather the same way for that. That's all changed for me too. But the gathering part and the holiday part, and I think it's something everybody wants to do. People want to hug me. I don't know why. They don't want to save me at the dog pound, but they want to hug me when they see me.
Yeah, sorry. My brain went to earlier you mentioned there being no toys, and it's kind of sort of like the new COVID.
Yeah, I'm
normal.
Wondering how all this changes. I mean, it changes because you're buying on your lap. You're not going to the mall. You already admitted that, right?
Right. Well, here, I'm going to give you a change that's coming that we can't even see that will happen maybe a year or two from now.
Am I going to get a vaccine for it?
No.
Okay, good.
But it's probably going to impact you. I think it'll impact all of us. So you mentioned no toys, right? And all the boats that are sitting out off LA port and all that.
The cabbage
all that
patch dolls
stuff,
and
right.
stuff that's really significant that we need.
So I listened to a guy the other day and he painted this picture around all of the money and effort that is going into fixing the supply chain right now. And if we know anything about what we do, we go from one extreme to the other. So the number
we'll have
of
too
boats,
many supplies.
Yeah, not supplies.
Too
many
much
boats. Yes, too many boats. He didn't really talk about trucks, but boats specifically. Something like more than 600 boats are being built right now, and those are the big boys. And I don't
that are
know
meant
how
to carry things from over there all the way over here and through Panama canals and stuff like
right.
that.
And what's interesting about that is, you know, the other message through the whole pandemic was, oh my gosh, look how exposed we are to imports. Like, it's a national security problem. We import our antibiotics, and we import this, and we import that.
Chips, everything we need that runs. I mean, how the hell are you going to get a PlayStation without a chip?
I know. This is a crisis. So they talked about high cost of shipping, and in America we have low cost of fuel, we have automation, and now we have this push to like onshore our manufacturing. But part of that equation, we know our labor can't compete with their labor, right? So you got to make up that delta with the shipping and the energy costs and the automation. Well, everybody's saying onshoring. If you have a glut of boats that depress, shoot downward, you know, deflationary pressure on the cost of shipping goods, because there's all these shipping companies that have all these ships and all these containers, all of a sudden that onshoring conversation about America manufacturing again goes away. Because the one thing that we know to
aren't
be
these
true,
the same ships that take our stuff other places sometimes, if we made such a thing?
I was going to say, what stuff?
Well, we make hate. A lot of Confederate flags. We make a lot of that, you know. But Bill, I'm going to talk to Don about this, but he won't talk to me about this because he's a politician at heart. You know what I mean? So you know this, right? So we should talk about this. I went to Colgate Elementary, which is my elementary school, and I went for the ribbon cutting, and it's glorious, right? Like what?
Yeah.
When we invest in our children, when it's modern, when it looks like what I saw the other day looks and what Dundalk High looks like now, apparently Dundalk Elementary. I was with my buddy Stan Jablonski that went there. He said they redid that. And I'm thinking, I was at the Heritage Fair. It was half shut down with Wise Markets 4 months ago. So I go over there and I'm up on the second floor and I'm in this beautiful library, education, learning. There is a beautiful mural on the wall, as only elementary school teachers can do, right? Like, and I took a picture of it, and I didn't put it up, but I'm going to put it up. And I didn't get a really good – here's the picture here. This is the mural in the school, and it says, "Reading takes you places." And, like, then I have, like, all the little kiddie signs. Like, you remember this one? "Work hard and be nice. Work hard and be nice." So I took pictures of like all the little lessons. Here's one here, the hallway check, and they have the cute kids here. "Are you standing straight? Are you keeping your hands to yourself? Are you in line? Are you quiet?" I said 3 out of 4 in bad. I'll never be quiet. You know what I mean? That's not going to work for me.
Right.
So Bill, and I'm not going to show this, but I will show that this was the view out the window, and you can see the school bus. There's a school bus, right out the window.
Hard to see.
And then I look a little closer behind the school bus, and this is literally at the front door of the school from the library. It's the first house as the buses come out. There is a 20x20 F Biden and F U 2 flag sitting on the lawn.
And F U 2?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. This is not, this is a real deep thinker. So yes. I'll send you a screenshot of it if you want. Middle finger, you know, the whole deal. And I'm thinking to myself, and here's one other thing I want to give you. And I'm just going to give this to you and take it for what it's worth. I always tell you I grew up in Archie Bunker's Dundalk, okay? So if you go back and find my first grade picture, my second grade picture, my third grade picture, my fourth grade picture, my fifth grade, my sixth grade. I was 7 years at Colgate Elementary from 1972-3 until 79. Did my whole thing there, skipped the grade. Oh, I actually skipped the grades. I only did 6 years there. So I skipped third grade, kind of reading, graduated early. So that was 6 years, 73 to 79. In those years, in any class I was ever in, I was the only person of color there. Now, we had maybe two Korean kids, a family that identified as Native American, but not like in – I knew – you know, we called him Chief, right? I mean, this is 1975, but it wasn't like there was anything – everyone was white. everyone was white in the school. And I was sort of the kid missing the finger who was Louis Aparicio's cousin who had the old white grandparents who walked me up, you know? So I went back to the school and the first thing I noticed when the kids were singing, and they were singing a Colgate friendship song, I could read you the words. They're beautiful. And, I could see how many kids were Latin and how many kids of color were there. And I asked the principal and she said, we're 64% Hispanic at my elementary school, 50 years later. Right. And, she said, if you came to lunch, everybody's speaking Spanish at lunch. The kids speak Spanish to each other. And I said, God, what a benefit that would have been for me the rest of my life to have had that, to have had that cover in baseball, traveling the world, being in wherever, being in a situation where you can help someone because you speak another language on a plane, wherever. And I speak un poquito, you know, but like, I think I need to volunteer some time at Colgate Elementary to learn some Spanish. That's what I think. So there, I want to have at that because I spent some time around kids and I haven't done that in a while. And it was really amazing. The resources, when we do it the right way, these teachers were unbelievable too. Like, I'm heartened about that. I really am. Makes me want to move back to my neighborhood, dude.
You should probably have a Christmas party for them.
With Pizza John's Pizza?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. You told me you're missing the Christmas. You know, you don't do it.
These kids just had a party. They got Halloween chance. Candy sitting around. Here's they got chance. Thanksgiving coming up next week with pumpkin pie and whatnot. But I, you know, I just think the messaging for children, and you're a part of this, and whether it was mass shots now, right? Like, God damn, it's complicated being a kid. You know what I mean? Like, it felt really complicated to me. First thing I noticed, Bill, is I walked up. Everybody's got a mask on. There's Johnny O. There's Rick Metzger. There's Todd Crandall. There's Johnny. You know, all the politicians and teachers. Don Mueller's daughter, Jen Lynch, is there. Everybody's got masks on. I'm in the parking lot. I'm like, dude, it's 70 degrees. We're all vaxxed. Like, what?
Yeah.
Well, we're on a school property. We wear masks here. And I'm like, that's just dumb. That doesn't even make any sense.
I don't want to have that conversation. I don't have any energy for that one, but
I'm all for, well, I'm a mask guy, but let's do it where it matters.
There's no logic in pretty much any of it, right? We make rules and then we forget about them. It's complicated. I give people a pass to some degree, right? I mean, it's first time for everybody. So whatever. I don't know.
How are your kids doing?
They're fine. They're good. They, you know,
you were telling me last week, this is like, you know,
soccer crazy.
Right. It's gone back into whatever the passion was 24 months ago, if it's still there, and it's probably pent up to some degree, right?
I don't know that. Look, we were really fortunate. They were back in school last September, you know, all masked up, sitting in their plastic cubicles. You know, they get to, I refer to it as prison because they're not allowed to, like, you know, commiserate with the other inmates, but for an hour a day, they get to go out to the yard, but they can't touch the other inmates and they get their own parking spot. They got to stand in and play with the ball by themselves. That was last year. It's a little bit better now, but.
Did you understand germs when you were a kid? I didn't. My parents died not understanding germs. So,
right. No,
they knew enough to get a vaccine for polio, but they didn't understand. They could not explain a germ, you know? So I guess all these kids now, at least, you know, I wonder what their love lives are going to be like later when it comes time for intimacy and being, you know, being close with people, because this has been a weird time. I thought about that because these are third, fourth grade kids singing to me. These are kids that were 6, 7, 8, 9 years old when the plague comes. Now they're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And they all look pretty resilient. I'll be honest with you.
I don't disagree. I think there's a personal touch thing that is evolving. So that'll definitely be a thing. I have seen some of that. I don't know so much with my kids, but my kids are definitely like observant, like, oh, I bet that person has the COVID. It's like, no, honey, not every time somebody coughs or sneezes do they have the COVID. Okay. Like it's like not every time. Right.
It might've just been the ground pepper, you know, at dinner.
Right. I'm more curious. Well, not more, but in addition to that sort of influence in our world, like, do you remember the guy? I think you and I swapped photos of this one too, but the guy that was on the side of the road, like with the sign F Hogan and all that, like really just over the top. Did you ever see that guy?
He was
like moving around from street to street. So like what I'm trying to figure out is like the level of obscenity and just over the top, but whether it's yard signs or standing on the road signs, like that seems to have evolved and like you can do whatever you want now.
Oh, I mean, the farms of Pennsylvania, when you drive, I mean, Western right. Maryland, Eastern Shore, Confederate flags on the lawn, free speech. You know what I mean? Like,
so, but when did that become vogue? Do you think social media?
I mean, what I saw on the
that?
Lawn across from my elementary school in my right. neighborhood, that just would not have worked in 1978. Archie Bunker wouldn't have allowed that. The cops would have come. The neighbors would have come. It just would not stand and certainly can't stand. In a civil society,
well,
you know?
Hold on. I am not, my interest is not to debate the, is it okay or is it not okay part of it? Cause that is a big unpacking of free speech, bunch of baloney that I don't feel like
when
debating.
Did it become acceptable to put
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's my
world?
Question is when did the
when
world
did we
shift?
Lower the bar to the
when
point where
shift?
This
is
what
because,
we get?
Right. Is it because of social media? Like, because people can go on social media and say whatever they want and no one holds them accountable, does that then give you – well, if I can put it on Facebook, why can't I put it in my front yard?
Dude, it's the weirdest thing for me because I had a public voice long before anybody. I had a newspaper and a radio right. and like – and what I said, what came out of this thing here and still to this day, 30 years – in a 30 days would be a 30 years – it had to be true and I had to believe it and it had to be founded on something, some principle of honesty that I could explain to a wider audience. I mean, I got accosted with a friend in Essex on Tuesday. I use the word accosted because like I didn't bring it on. I was standing there with my friend. Saying goodbye, talking about his elderly parents that he's back from Chicago to take care of. We met in Essex. We had a slice of pizza. It was nice. I love him. I'll see him next weekend. We're going, you know, he's picking me up in Chicago. And we're saying goodbye. And I got a pizza in my hand from my wife. And a guy comes up. Hey, Nasty Nester, where's your mask? I said, I'm standing outside, dude. So right off, I'm like, oh, you might be a jackass. So I held my mask up. I'm like... Yeah, let me tell you another thing. 9/11 isn't real, and those planes. I'll give you $100 right now. Like, so I'm getting engaged by crazies, not like, hey, you're too hard on the Orioles or Peter Angelos, or hey, how about that Lamar? Hey, I lost a bet last week because of the kicker, or like the things that I'm used to. Now I have people walking up to me denying 9/11. Like, that's where this started, and I knew where it was going with the vaccine, and Lord knows whatever else batshit stuff this guy believes. But it really is people believing what you and I used to see in the National Enquirer and the Star. And, dude, I'm from Dundalk, so I met a lot of really weird people. No offense, just true. There are more people in Dundalk than there were anywhere else. I met more people in my walk of life who believed professional wrestling was real, who... Sure. You know, worshipped soap operas, who read World Weekly News and aliens are green and invading Fells Point and they believe it. And anything on the news, it must be true. And then they found Rush Limbaugh at some point in 1988. And then all hell, you know, then where they are, wherever they are on the continuum of batshit. So this guy comes up to me and I'm thinking to myself, he wants to engage me and convince me that 9/11 and my wife's leukemia, like, without knowing anything. And I'm like, just go get some pizza, dude. Just keep going. Like, I'm not going to engage you. Just good to meet you. Thank you. Have a great day. Good. You know, like, I don't know what else to say to someone whose belief system, the next thing is going to be Sandy Hook and those kids weren't murdered and, like, whatever. QAnon, what, you know, Mike Flynn for president. I don't know.
Right.
But, like, we were... If I would have, I can't imagine, really, sir, let me stop things. I'll come in and get a pizza with you for an hour. Tell me what else I should believe that isn't true, that you are having founding principles on. And then when that happens, F. Biden signs show up across from my element. Like, it's just you, the internet and fake news and I don't, just lies. I mean, I don't know what else to say, have created this society now.
Think about the improvement in topics that people are accosting you about. Like forever, it was just sports. Now, look, it's so much more interesting stuff that affects so many more people. You know, look, I'll tell you one thing that I know that I believe is 100% fact, although I have absolutely no evidence to support it, no scientific evidence to support it. COVID has messed with people's heads in so many different ways that we have absolutely not even begun unpacking. Like, it has affected people in so many different, whether it's personal relationships, work relationships, patience levels, skepticism. Like, we really messed with people, you know, like we really affected them. And that's, and I'm not even like beginning
fringe
to
people
address.
Went further onto the fringe.
Absolutely. And I'm not even beginning to like address the really, really bad stuff around domestic partner violence and child abuse and all these things that occurred, you know, because we just sent everybody home and we didn't have any of the safety nets built in. And, you know, I'm not even there. That someday somebody's going to have to unpack and tell us all what really went on. If that's possible, I don't know.
Who would you trust to tell it?
Yeah.
And that becomes, you know, that really becomes the new world. And I think that's where my lane is because, you know, after 30 years of people are tuning me in, you know, it's a trusted resource and I appreciate that. And I feel like I've earned that trust over 30 years and I redeliver that in. I don't think there's any of that. You know what I mean? Like in regard to who to trust and whose word and who's telling the true story. And
I would go to the House of Ruth and the Baltimore Child Abuse Center. And I would say, hey, you know, what have you experienced for the last 18 months?
I had House of Ruth on last month. They were doing an event with Wise Markets. And I mean, you talk about things in this country that really got off the track during COVID. All the things you're talking about, people being locked down with other people they can't get along with and they can't leave. Yes.
And again, my comment is even at a higher level. Like, I think most of us are sort of rational enough to kind of make that connection. But what we don't understand or can't unpack is just how it has affected, you know, seemingly balanced people, you know, in decent home environment, you know, like maybe everything's not a train wreck already, but it has progressively gone down a path that has turned into a dumpster fire because they have no more patience. They don't know who to trust. They can't, you know, they believe in conspiracies, blah, blah, you know, like what, wherever they get their energy from. And
Have you ever read the Sagan thing? Carl Sagan's birthday was this week. Have you seen that, that passage that from his book in 1995? I'm going to read it to you. I can actually pull it up because I believe I think I shared it. I've shared it so many times on social media over the years because his birthday comes and goes every year. I want to read this to you. And I'll leave you with this because I don't think I've ever read this, okay? Yep. This is Carl Sagan. But there's another reason science is more than a body of knowledge. It is a way of thinking. I have a foreboding of an America in my children's or grandchildren's time. And he wrote this 35 years ago. When the United States is a service and information economy, when nearly all the key manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when awesome technological powers, like this phone, are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. When the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority, when, and this is a good one here, this brings the, when clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide almost without noticing back into superstition and darkness. The dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in enormously influential media. The 30-second sound bites, now down to 10 seconds or less, lowest common denominator programming, credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition, but especially a kind of celebration of ignorance. As I write, the number one video cassette rental, that gives you the time frame, so it was the 80s, in America is the movie Dumb and Dumber, and Beavis and Butthead remains the most popular television show on television. So well, there you have, years are, ago, I that's mean, Carl Sagan, and, you know, clutching our crystals, you know, what feels good and what's true. The racism feels so good to the racist. It just does. It makes them feel superior, like all of that psychological stuff. And that's kind of where we are. It's not true. It just makes them feel good.
I think we've talked about Adam Grant's book, Think Change, I think it's called, something like that. But Adam Grant, right? And he's the one that talks about humble confidence. Well, you know, he goes through this whole thing about, and I don't know if I have to go back and look. Whether
Adam Grant is Think Again. Think Again.
Think Again. There you go.
Think Again. There you go.
I don't
I
know.
Love
if
when
he,
you give me books because we have not talked about it. This is good.
Oh, this one's really good. So,
okay.
I don't think he necessarily goes as far as to say it's DNA, but he says that we have this built-in position of not being willing to change core values and things that we attach to our morals and
what's ego?
Like very
I'm right.
very like
right. yeah,
and the it's about really laziness. Because
well, baseball had this for 100 years. You bunt, you move a runner along. Then they start to study it. Now we can all bitch and say it's not any good, and we can. But it's definitely a better mathematical equation. Luke and I go through this every day. It's just baseball. Right.
So the laziness makes it more comfortable for us to say, "This is a principle. I don't care what you say. I am not even going to listen to you. This is what I believe."
I like the hit and run.
That's the laziest position in the world.
I hit on 18 because one time I got a 3 and I beat the house, man.
Right.
Yeah.
The fun part about that is, and you know it's true, like you can read it and you see these examples in your life. Like when we don't know anything about a subject, we are curious. We rely on others. We're very humble about our position. Like, because we know, well, I have no idea what I'm doing. The minute we learn a little bit, we immediately think we are the expert.
You're on a lily pad and you can't come back. Yes.
Our confidence super goes over our actual knowledge, right? And then as we screw up, those two things come back together, right? Until later on, our actual knowledge surpasses our confidence.
Well, and right? That's where you say, maybe my dad was right.
Well, and this whole idea that some point in your life you realize, oh my gosh, I don't know anything. There's so much stuff that I don't know, and I could spend the rest of my life trying to learn it, and I still won't even touch it. Oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. And that's a point where I think people cross over and then I think you can have productive conversations. Prior to that, and this is a good thing, right? We're full of piss and vinegar and we get shit done. And it doesn't really matter whether we know what we're doing, we're running hard, you know. And you need some of that, right? And that's our 20s and our 30s. And then all of a sudden you have this awakening where you're like, holy crap, I don't know anything.
There's got to be a better way to do this. Or as Don Henley said, the more I know, the less I understand. Bill Cole's here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. Tell everybody what you've been doing for 102 years now.
So what we're doing currently, the most important message, maybe this helps someone, you know, supply chain has affected us. Price increases have affected us. Like if you were thinking about getting your roof done anytime in 2022, you need to be having those discussions right now. And we have been working with a lot of clients to try and extend the life of their roof. Like, let's see if we can, you know, do some repairs, do some small work here to just get you farther down the road. Like, it's crazy stuff we used to get in 2 weeks. I placed an order earlier this week and I got a date of November next year. So it's really crazy, and it continues to get worse, not better. So that's, I guess the one message is, like, I know nobody really wants to talk about roofing. It's kind of a pain in the butt. I get it. But if this is one of those times where you really have to plan very far ahead if you want something to actually occur. And then on the solar side, hey, look, infrastructure bill just went through. There's another big bill coming. Maybe, you know, there are lots of incentives. The programs are good. The returns are awesome. I understand, like, not a lot of people have bought it before in their life. It is an investment. So again, we're just always in this position of wanting to help people understand and figure out whether it's right for them.
All right. Well, have a good week. We get no football next week for a little while, and I'm off to Chicago for some deep dish pizza next weekend, and then we got Thanksgiving. I hope at some point you're going to come have a crab cake with me. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. Our mayor, Brandon Scott, will be joining us on Wednesday at Coco's. It has been like 20 years since I've had the Coco's crab cake. Fadley's crab cake last week. Nick's Grandstand Grill at Timonium. Jim Reese and Leonard Raskin, a bunch of friends joining us out there, and I'm putting some things together. We're going to be up in Harford County at Conrad's on Black Friday, and then we're kicking off the 30th anniversary celebration. Evan's doing that over at the Beaumont, the new restaurant, new Chop House over in Catonsville, so we're going to have crab cake over there on the 9th, and that'll kick off the 30th anniversary celebration. Also putting together some dates. We're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville. We're going to be at Costas in Dundalk, and there's one other, Roost Chris. I'm putting all that together before the holidays, so all that and more. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.